We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
The following program is brought to you by the Preferred Home Team. Content is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal or real estate advisors. Welcome to the Real Estate Radio Hour, a forum of ideas, plans, and expert advice on all things real estate. Andy Prasky with RE/MAX Advantage Plus was named Super Agent by Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. Chris Rooney of RE/MAX Preferred is a lakeshore and luxury home specialist. Together, they cover the Twin Cities. This combined dynamic duo has sold over 2,000 homes, ranked in the top 1% nationwide, top 10 in the state of Minnesota, and still have time to get together every Saturday to talk about real estate. Here's Abby Prasky and Chris Rooney, Denny Law, and the Real Estate Radio Hour.
And good morning. Welcome to this edition of the Real Estate Show here on 830 WCCO. Chris and Andy in studio, just us chickens here today. By the way, happy Easter to you guys and your families.
Right back at you.
It's good to see you. And kind of a surprise here. It looks like there's sunshine out there now. Is there a little bit? I'm hoping.
It's glaring off the ice on the freeway coming in. Yeah. My goodness, it's a little treacherous, so be careful.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, we've been hearing reports of a lot of slippery conditions out there, walking and driving. Well, how was your week in real estate? We were kind of chatting off the air about people's view, their perception of real estate. But totally. From your vantage point, what's it like?
I just flew in from Phoenix last night, so
still smells like suntan lotion,
but,
Denny.
I did get a lot of looks at some things down there, and again, another interesting market as well, kind of patterned after what we're seeing right now. But it was interesting coming in on the plane. I mean, you see all that snow, and it's like, oh, man.
Yeah.
From 90 to that. So.
Well, no kidding. But at least you got to see some 90s. That's good.
Yeah. So tell us what happened, Andy, this week.
Oh, man. It is nuts. New construction right now, as we sit out there, and I'm kind of, spread from – Stillwater all the way over to probably Plymouth, and well, not probably, I am into Plymouth. So we have the end of the parade of homes has been ridiculously successful. Yes, and the people are coming out, they're writing the orders. I mean, and if you think about this, Denny, what I like about all this is that the good news is everybody that's building their new house, and let's say it's ready in October or November, because that's when they'll close on the new one, the inventory, everybody that's building seems to have backup houses. There are a lot of move-up buyers right now. So we're seeing a lot of that inventory that will be coming to the marketplace, which it's just so thirsty for inventory. And it's just it's good to see, because that I think will bring some more affordable housing to the market, which is what we're craving. And then the executive level stuff is being new construction. We're seeing pretty heavily fulfilled with the new construction. And so I'm starting to feel like it's kind of becoming a good normal market again.
Good.
We've got a number of listings coming on as well. So I was doing some market analysis during my pool time. In the shade. But anyways, what was crazy is I pulled up Shakopee, okay, and I was looking kind of between 200 and 250 to see how many single-family homes there were available. Mm-hmm. And legit available, a lot of them, when you see on the internet, there's active with inspection.
Right.
So they've already been sold, and they're just waiting to clear the inspection and go pending. Mm-hmm. But from 2 to 250, there was one you could go look at.
Yeah.
One.
And
you,
one of 50 people looking at it.
Yeah, you'd see 30 at least, okay? And then I said, well, geez, maybe this thing's a little more. And so I just kind of switched that 250 to 300, and it came up with two.
Two
that were actually available at the time. It might have changed by now. That was on Thursday. But, it's crazy. I mean, that just doesn't happen. But what's going on with those lower-priced homes now is that they're really gaining quickly, because people are, they're starving for them, and they come crazy after them.
Well, and Denny, just for a quick comparison of what Chris is saying, like now we're in most suburbs, you would take a 1 mile search around a comparable property. We're seeing one or two properties that are available for sale. Go back to 2009, you'd see 60.
Mm.
60.
Oh. Yeah.
No joke. And so that's what kind of a market we're in right now. So it's you have to be completely intentional and strategic with selling your house. You have to know where you're going before you list, because otherwise your buyers come in and fight over it, and they want to close in 2 weeks with cash, or they want to close in 30 days with financing. And they don't really care where you're going. They want that house.
But that's not every price segment either.
No,
and
true.
I think that's what's really interesting, that there's some price segments that are just sitting and sure. Nothing's happening. And so it's really interesting.
And I think some of it too is, Chris, is not only the price points, but the houses with like projects, for an example, something that has to be done before the person will feel satisfied as being their home. We're seeing a little bit of resistance on that. And I'm telling some of my customers, you should maybe pull back from the marketplace a little bit, maybe do those updates like we've talked about the last couple of weeks, get those updates made, then relist, and then watch the completely different response that you get. It really can be rewarding. So
yeah, it's really interesting. We had a situation where maybe it wasn't completely done. And I mean, when I'm talking completely done, just maybe some real final cleaning and some storage stuff and, you know, maybe painting the utility floor, you know, making sure all the mechanicals are cleaned off and stuff like that.
Sure.
And anyways, had a deal. Deal was done. It took like 70 showings to be able to get the deal done. And then that deal fell apart after the fact. Got all that stuff done. Got on the market in 2 days, had 8 offers, and got $15,000 more.
Wow.
You know,
isn't that crazy?
Because of simple little things like that.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up about laundry rooms, because that's one of those areas that, you know, people want a nice laundry room nowadays. That's something that people actually ask for. So if it's not on the main floor, it's down in the basement. And then you go down there and there's one little, you know, 40-watt bulb lighting up the room. And there's
it's pretty grim looking.
Yeah, and there's some spider webs in the corner. It's dark and, you know, and here's the thing. What Chris just said is absolutely the right thing to do. You want to paint the floors, paint the walls, get that bright and nice looking in there. Increase the wattage on those bulbs so that people actually can see that it's nice and bright down there. Even if you wouldn't keep a higher wattage bulb, for an example, or maybe a fancier fixture, spending that extra time and touch to that room, which somebody spends some time in, you know, they'll appreciate that, and they may buy your house because, well, you know, it has, it's one of those other nice features that pulls them in.
And I'll tell you, the other thing is typically when it is down in the lower level, it's usually by mechanicals.
Right.
And mechanicals, the furnace, the water heater, and all the other stuff. This is kind of funny to say this, but it's a scary room for a lot of people. They don't know how to work it. They don't know what's going on. So
it makes noises, it has different smells.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Yeah. And you get, I mean, obviously there's moisture in there, and it's kind of a good heaven for cobwebs.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, you got to clean all that stuff up and make it good. And what happens on the floor when the water softener drains? I mean, you get water deposits and you get little rust places. And because people used to have their paint cans there and it gets around them.
I would say it looks like a crime scene in the sink because of all the paint that's been spilled over the years.
Yeah.
You're like, what happened here? Oh, my gosh. Put a new laundry tub in. It's $150. You pop one out, you put one back in. And some of those little – I think what we're saying is that the utility rooms nowadays, Danny, are almost as important as some of the main rooms of your house because people are putting it on their to-do list. They want main-level laundry. They'll actually look for houses with main-level laundry. When I started my career, that was never even a concern. Or they'll say, I need folding counters. Where are my folding – how would I even fold my clothes? Now I have to have my overflow from my laundry room out into my family room, and I'll have clothes everywhere on the furniture. And we're all living. I mean, everybody's nodding their head listening to that. You have to have a solution to the challenge. And so that's something that I think is money well spent.
Yeah, and I think the other part is that people look at those kind of things along with roofs and windows and siding as big ticket items, you know, that you have to replace. And a lot of people don't have that money after they purchased a home. They don't have that money to do it. But they can sometimes look past some paint or some carpet, but those are the factors that it's in the back of their head. They might not even know why they're not picking that house. And then sellers always want feedback.
Right.
And so their agent has to come up with something for them. And the reality is it probably was, hey, it's really that mechanical room, but you know what? It was really that toilet seat in that main bathroom that was really bad. And it was just ridiculous. I mean, but they make up excuses because of things like that. So.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Real important.
I can see it. Now, I know we have to take a break, but here's a question we can maybe grab quickly. What is the first upgrade in order to sell, paint or carpet?
Well, paint.
Paint.
Because it's cheaper.
100%. I think even before that's decluttering.
Right.
Decluttering is, I think, decluttering and cleaning is the most important.
I would say this. If you were going to do them in sequence of you know, planning ahead, carpet, because the carpet guys, unfortunately, will scratch the wall sometimes when they're rolling out the carpet.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll need touch-up anyway, so you might as well get the carpet down. Now, people are scratching their head saying, no, you paint first. Well, paint and have a paint that's touch upable then, and then you so you don't drip on the new floor, and then you actually do touch up with the if there's any scrapes or.
Andy does this for his clients.
He does
after he installs the carpet, he'll
carry
paint.
Out the carpet, put it on my truck.
He's the only contractor that does that. But
Andy, would you get us some coffee, please?
On my way, sir.
We have to take a break here. We'll be right back. By the way, we're already getting some text messages, and if you want to call in your real estate question or send a text, either one. 651-989-9226, or send us a text, 81807. More of the Real Estate Show straight ahead here on 830 WCCO. And welcome back to the Real Estate Show here on 830 WCCO. Chris and Andy in studio, and as we mentioned real early this morning, we're going to be graced on our CCO Newsline by Paige Davis, star of the Trading Spaces. Everybody, my daughter, everybody was calling me. Oh, we love that show. Paige, thank you so much for joining us. And we're sorry about the snow, by the way. Where is she? There she is.
Hi.
Good morning. We welcome you to the Real Estate Show. Chris and Andy are the real estate experts here. I kind of just get the coffee. But we're so glad you you called in today. And welcome to the Twin Cities.
You're kind of like me, Denny. I'm just the conduit. I show up with a bunch of other experts to do the work, but I don't actually know anything about the home.
It makes us look good to surround ourselves with good people. I know that's true. But anyway,
I end up being more counselor and therapist than I do actual DIYer.
Well, you're a referee, yeah. From what I've seen.
That too, yeah.
That's awesome. So what you've been down at the Home and Garden Show. It looks like a real exciting show this year, and it looks like there's lots of new, exciting, inspirational stuff. What have you had a chance to walk around and see anything that's top of the list for new stuff to do?
I've seen a few things. The thing I've noticed the most is that everything does seem very new and up to date. If you own a home or you're ever thinking of owning a home, this home show is really great. It's one of the best in the country that I've seen because everything is very, very up to date, as they say. And it's a great place to get inspiration. And because the vendors are all here, it's also a great place to get information, which is very important. You can take pictures of things that inspire you, and you can ask real questions about, you know, what will it really cost? What is the real timeline,
right,
you know, to do it correctly?
Paige, we got you on our Facebook page, and we had a couple questions from some of our listeners. And one of them was, have you ever incorporated any of the designs that you've used in the show to your own home?
I really haven't. I'm in a very, very unique situation in that I did not decorate or design my own apartment. My home was done for the Oprah Winfrey Show by Nate Berkus.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I mostly what I've done in my home is try not to change anything at all.
No kidding. So you actually we're Trading Spaces is actually going to be coming back on air. Sounds like in a couple of weeks or a week.
No, 1 week. 1 week from today, April 7th. We are back. The reboot happens. We shot 8 episodes, and they're all finished. And they start airing in 1 week, and I'm really, really excited about it. And at the Home and Garden Show here, that's primarily what I'll be talking about. I'll be showing clips from the old show and clips from the new episodes that are coming up and, you know, kind of dishing the dirt and giving you all the behind-the-scenes information about the show.
Paige, what time's today now? Where are you going to be on stage? Do you know?
11:30, and then again at 2:30, dentist time, as they say.
Haven't heard that for years.
And then I'll talk for an hour and I'll take questions. It'll mostly be a Q&A session. And then afterward I'll do like meet and greets. If people do want autographs or if they want to take pictures, I'll be sticking around to do that too.
Well, and some of us that are new to the show concept, could you give us a quick little description as to what the concept of the show is and why is it different?
Well, we were really the first of our kind. We sort of kicked off a whole genre of design television. And the concept of our show is that two sets of neighbors trade houses for 2 days, meaning they spend the night in each other's house. And during that time, they redecorate one room in each other's house. But they have to do it within the 2-day time frame. And each team can only spend, this go around, it's $2,000. It actually used to be $1,000.
Wow.
But we've increased it, you know, because of inflation. That budget was set 20 years ago. So they have to spend the night in each other's house. They redo one room. They have the assistance of a designer. Each team gets a designer, and they have a carpenter. But they have to finish it in 2 days, and they can only each team can only spend $2,000. And they have absolutely no say in what happens in their own room while they're working on their neighbor's room.
Mm, that's kind of fun. How about the staff that you guys have, from the laborers to the designers? And I mean, they just staying at a local hotel, and how much time are they spending at that house during those 2 days?
Well, there's no staff. I mean, there are a few production assistants that help out, but the neighbors are primarily doing the work. Each team has a designer. They have a carpenter. There's me. And then there's the two neighbors in each home. And there's a production assistant, and there's a sewing assistant, and there's also a behind-the-scenes carpenter as well to help out and keep things going smoothly. But the work is done by the team. The thing that I love the most about Trading Spaces, probably because we were the first of its kind and reality television was actually reality back then,
right,
is that it's all real. It's all authentic. There's no like art department who comes in and does it off camera or anything like that. So because of the time and budget constraint, the designers do show up with a vision and a plan, and they've already shopped the room and everything. So there's not a whole lot the neighbors can do to sway a vision or change a design in the moment, but it is up to them to execute it. So, you know, it's up to your friends to either paint those walls like nice and neat and finish the project well, get it done on time, or finish it at all.
Well, and Chris and I were thinking we could pitch you an idea, as long as we're on air, that we'd have realtor spaces, and we could actually, two real estate agents, stage each other's listings, sabotage or positive, we're not sure, but what do you think?
That's actually a good idea for a show.
Stage listing or guy's listing, and it could be kind of fun.
Well, I tell you, Paige, I know you've got to run, but it's been a pleasure. You have a lot of fans around here. This is not unusual. But again, your times on the stage are when now, besides the dentist time?
11:30 this morning, so soon. But then again at 2:30. And come on down. The home show is really neat. I mean, even if you don't come down to see me or hear about Trading Spaces, I think you'd be at a loss not to come down to the show because it's pretty special.
I hear it's really, really fun. Really huge this year, too. So that's great.
It's really big. And there's hot dogs and there's booze. Yeah,
all that.
Music,
that's a good combination there.
You had Chris at hot dog.
there he is, perked up. Well, before you go, I got to ask you, how's your doggy Georgie?
Oh, she's a pain in my butt. she's wonderful. She's 6 pounds of utter charm and humor and hilariousness. She's very cute. She's very funny.
Well, I had a dog named Georgie. Well, I had to ask you about that. So, well,
oh,
Paige,
that's so cool.
Thank you, Paige. Thanks. Good luck, and we'll see you at the Home and Garden Show.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you.
Very good.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye bye.
Okay, bye bye.
Paige Davis. What a nice lady.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't get any sweeter.
Well, they call her an effervescent star. And she is indeed.
Well, she's on Broadway, too.
Yeah, yeah. And she's a published author.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's all impressive stuff. I mean, you know, you look back at that show, and what she brought up was a great point. You know, a lot of these new shows are about bottom lines and flip it and make money. And they were about authentically being good, two families being good to each other and trying to outdo each other, being nice with the decorating that they would do for each other. It's a neat concept.
Yeah, those neighbors really know each other, too. So,
right.
Yeah,
and she said to you guys that she's going to start in about a week.
They didn't call us back for our show yet, but we're holding on.
That's coming. That's coming.
Stand by the phone. Okay. And good morning. Welcome back to the Real Estate Show here on 830 WCCO. If you do have a question related to real estate, we always welcome yours either by phone or by text. 651-989-9226 is the phone number, or send a text like some folks are doing, 81807. Chris and Andy, you want to feel a couple of these?
Let's do it.
All right.
Yeah.
Where is the first one? Does your valuation, and we've talked about this before, from the county, is that what you can sell it for? You guys tried to explain that before, too.
Well, it's a question we probably get 20, 30 times
a
year.
Sure.
Not just on the radio, but in person. And, I mean, it's a legit question, too, is that, and what they're talking about is your tax value. So there's an assessed value that the county gives you that your taxes are based off of. And, I mean, they're trying to get it close, but we don't we used to. My parents, I've said this before, my parents were in real estate for a long time and asked them how they priced house, and they said, well, whatever the assessed value is, take 10% more.
Well, and that's what it is. Probably, Chris, because back then we were using the old Rolodex with the listings, and we had, you know, picture books for what was for sale. that was probably one of the only universal collections of information that was available at that time.
Totally.
So now we've changed. Now there's 3,000 different ways to calculate a value. And so to me, that is the least important. So I think that as times have evolved and more information has become available, that old strategy that used to work no longer does. I do not put any value on. I may look at it just for fun, just to see, because of the battle that I might have with a buyer that wants to buy one of my listings that would battle that with me. But other than that, I don't really look at that. That's just a gauge of how much taxes you're going to pay.
Yeah, it's really interesting, too, when Andy says that we have all this other information to gather from. I mean, Zillow, and everyone knows all these different things. There's all this stuff. And it's funny, because what I do is when I go list a house, I gather all that information that the public is able to see, what we have through some of our stuff, and then I do a range of where it is. And the last one I did ranged from 410,000 to 709,000. That's how far off they were. I mean, it's just crazy.
Well, it is crazy. And you know, Denny, the other thing that's interesting to me anyway is that, like, some cities, counties, when they put your value in there, they'll only count above ground finished square footage. They won't count the basement. They won't count the bathrooms or the bedrooms that are below ground. So we'll have somebody that says, hey, I've got a 3,000 square foot house, 1,000 square feet on each floor. They're only saying on the tax record that I have 2,000 square feet finished, and I only have 3 bedrooms up and 2 bathrooms when I really have another bedroom and bathroom in the basement. So the online profiles, this is where the accuracy comes into play. The Zillow, all of the online calculation tools grab that information from the public records, and they put it into a formula. And that's how they establish a value. Then they look at other sales that are in the area, and they try to blend it all together to give you an evaluation. But they don't put into consideration, this is where the real estate agent comes into play, that $100,000 basement that you just put in, we will put that into the valuation versus the tax record or the actual, you know, online evaluation. We may not. That's why there's so much discrepancy between what the realtor's saying at your kitchen table and the tax record and the Zillow online opinions.
Big discrepancy.
Big time.
That's really interesting. Yeah. We get a lot when you're saying that too, they're grabbing information from everywhere because they're syndicating. And what happens is that sometimes those things get screwed up. Okay.
Right.
And so you go on Zillow. We check Zillow 3 times a week. We have to on our listings because it'll switch. It'll say, you know, we might have a 5-bedroom, 4-bath home. All of a sudden, it's 5 bedrooms and 2 baths, you know, because they take information from elsewhere because there's a 1/2 bath, 3/4 bath, and a full bath. Well, those are 3 different bathrooms. But let's just say you had 2 half baths and a full bath. They'll add those 2 half baths up to 1, and then get the other one. So it'll only be 2 baths. And so we have to go in and check that. And it's a frustration thing for a lot of sellers.
For sure. And I think that, you know, when you look at the big picture of an evaluation online, I'll be the first one that once they come to a universal system we can all agree to, I'll be the fan of that. But remember, Denny, these guys are fighting for our attention. They want your eyeballs and they want your clicks. So if for an example, I'm just going to say, let's say I'm a website that always makes people happy and I give you valuations that seem to be better than what you really thought it was, I'd probably be more of a tendency to click on that one than the one that says I'm accurate and here's your actual value. So remember, you're on the streets. I mean, when you're going down that internet and you're looking for valuations and whatever, the best thing to do is to call your local real estate agent that's a local expert, have them spend the hour with you, go through your house and prepare a market evaluation and present you with the facts and show the sales that have sold to justify the price with the same foundation size, the same finished square footage, maybe the same swimming pool, whatever it is, and that's going to really dial you in.
651-989-9226. If you have a real estate question you want to phone in, do that. We have a line open. Or send a text, 81807. Guys, here's a text that says this. How do you value a commercial building if you cannot find comps in the area? Located in a small town, currently has 2 renters that would pay for major. Is that mortgage?
Majority of the mortgage and tax payments.
And tax payments. Okay. Kind of jumped up.
Okay.
What do you
think? So, I mean, it would pay for the majority of the mortgage and tax payments. I mean, depending on what your mortgage is. You know, I mean, obviously that based on the value. So, that's an interesting part there to be able to do because that's what typically the lenders will use is just other comparable properties that have sold and judge it against that to be able to determine the value. But there's other ways too.
And from an investor's perspective, you know, Danny, I might come into it and look at it from a perspective of what is my return cash on cash return? What is the cap rate, right? Where the amount of money you put in, what is the return on investment above what my debt service and all my expenses are? That's how people evaluate these. So when you see somebody buying a $300 million building downtown Minneapolis, you're like, how do they make that make sense? It's all a formula that they use based on the rent that they're achieving, how much the improvements will cost them to keep that rent coming in over the next 10 years, their net. Yeah,
net income. Yep.
It just that really determines the value, in my opinion. Now, there's times where an empty building is worth less than a full building that's fully leased with people that have signed 3-year leases. So, you know, you, the old trick in the book was right before you sell your apartment building is you raise the rent 10%, so the rents are higher, and now so your building's worth more money. And, you know.
Yeah, totally. But I think, you know, if you're in a small town like that, it's kind of like go look at other small towns that are a little further away from there. You know, 20, 30, 40 miles difference. And then you just, I mean, typically what happens when you're trying to sell something, you got to kind of sell your story and what it is, right, and be able to say that, hey, you know, with all the rent that you're just getting upstairs, this mm-hmm. is all you have to get downstairs to be able to get this type of return.
Right.
And then it makes sense. And then that's what the bank will make sense to be able to finance for,
well,
someone.
And some of these other stores, too, are looking for the traffic, the car counts. And so they'll look at it. So, like, when you're in small town America, now they did the big bypass into your town. That retail store, in my opinion, is worth less because now you have less traffic count going by your store that you could grab the attention of and get them to stop. So a lot of people are like, oh, get all that out-of-town traffic out of here and have it route around town and watch your sales. Your sales are going to go down because of the traffic count is not there. So it's an interesting concept, but it's good and bad.
And the other thing is you got to know every possible use for that property to be able to sell it or what you could do with it. I mean,
the potential,
brainstorms.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's where you could even make more money. You can attract somebody. You can attract an ice cream shop versus mm-hmm. a muffler shop.
Right, yep. So.
There's a text that I want to get your take on, you guys. It says, are we becoming San Jose, Honolulu, or Boulder, Colorado, where lower-priced housing basically does not exist?
Our values don't match those places, but I don't know. No one's selling them. So, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're obviously rising, but I think they're rising real fast because there's no inventory out there. So someone yep. who wants a house is like, you know what, I better grab it now because I don't have nothing. I got to get something.
Well, and I had an out-of-town seller, weird enough, they actually met us online. We've had phone conferences, never met in person. They were out of Canada.
Is that Match.com?
No.
No, okay.
No. Not a bad idea. They'll throw a realtor profile on there. I don't know. Anyway, sorry, you completely threw me off. So the idea there was is that they met us online. They were talking about his son who just graduated. He's got an engineering degree. And the inventory that they have in Winnipeg, starting housing prices start at about $450 for the two-bedroom, one-bath condos. And single-family homes were more. And the existing, like they said, they could not afford to sell their house for $1 million, which is about what it would sell for, and replace it and be able to afford it. And they both have good jobs. Those markets, like up there right now, are starting to show the signs of we overdid it, and they're changing the way they do business up there a little bit. The banks are required to overqualify you by 20% more than what you can actually afford, and that's what they'll qualify you on. So they basically are suppressing the qualification so you spend less.
Interesting. Tell you what, let's do this. We need to take a break. We always do about this time. Again, to welcome our listeners, if you have a real estate question, by phone, that's 651-989-9226. Text again is 81807. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our real estate show around every Saturday in the 10 o'clock hour. 651-989-9226. That's our phone number if you have a real estate question, or send a text if you like, 81807.
Can't believe we're already at the end.
I know that.
It was fast.
Just minutes to go. Tell you what, Ken in Chanhassen is on the line to ask you guys a question. Go ahead, Ken. Thank you.
Yes, my wife passed away in the past 6 months, and I'm waffling between selling my house or not, or going to a townhouse. And it's a three-bedroom rambler with lake access and for the neighborhood. And, you know, I've been told those types of, it's in the 3 to 325 house range. And but yet the agent I talked to on the phone said, you know, she couldn't really move on her commission rate. And I get the picture. You know, these houses sell pretty quickly from what I've seen. So why couldn't she negotiate a little bit on me? Or why don't I just try it myself if I have an attorney friend and he'd handle the legal work? So,
okay. Ken, let me ask you quick. What lake is it on?
Minnewashta.
Okay, perfect. All right. I mean, if a three-bedroom rambler with access on Minnewashta is probably mm-hmm. going to exceed that number, I think that's important. And I mean, just like Andy was saying before, was to be able to get maybe a couple different realtors out there to give you an analysis. And I think, you know, a lot of people talk about commission, and commission's totally negotiable, but I think it depends on what value you give. You know, if you just throw it on the MLS, I mean, obviously you probably shouldn't get as much as, you know, if you actually do some marketing or know how to be able to position a home to be able to get more money for you. So,
well, for an example, Ken, the gal that told you the price that she told you, or I think you said it was a female agent, whatever, it doesn't matter. The agent that came out there gave you a valuation, set a price, and what I would do is ask them, what are they going to give you for marketing? Because, for an example, let's say for sale by owner, statistically, they sell for 8 to 10% less than what the market will bear because of lack of information and lack of promotion. What an agent does is when you're paying them that commission, they generate hype, they generate, you know, the promotional perspective of it, they create demand for your property in the condition that it's in the area that it's at. In theory, you should be getting more money, and the agent should be actually paying for themselves, more than paying for themselves, just by being involved in the transaction and promoting the property correctly to the right channels. Now, the other side of that is, like Chris just said, or you just sit back and you flip it on the MLS. I agree. If somebody's doing that and that's all they're doing, they should not be paid anywhere near what a full rate should be, or full rate commission.
All right, here's a text that just came in, guys. Thank you, Ken, by the way, for the call. I want to get, texter says, into rental real estate, but don't have any money down. I don't have equity because I just got divorced. Is there any way to get into rental real estate with no money down?
It's a great question.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not traditionally you do that, but I'll tell you what, ways in which to be able to get into it. I mean, if you're looking for a place also to stay, is to be able to give a disgruntled landlord, an option on how to get out of there. And sometimes it's a rent to own or a rent with an option, you know, that you have an option on there, be able to maybe do some work to that property, you know, and say, hey, I'm gonna get it. So say Ken's gonna rent over there, and I'm gonna tell Kent, you know, I'll give you $300,000. I have an option for a year and a half. You know, at $300,000, I'm going to rent it out. Maybe you fix it up at that time or do some, you know, just some labor work, sell it for $350,000. Now you get $50,000 to move on to the next property.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, there's a lot of ways to do it. You know, the only thing, Chris, I would say is sometimes when they get into the contract for deeds, for someone to actually do seller financing, they generally ask you for a little bit more of the equity. So instead of like $300,000, if that was a real value, they might say, let's agree to a three-year contract at $325,000. And then you're going to give me down payment in 6 months. You're going to give me an additional, you know, equity drop in a year and then a year and a half. So every, you know, 6 months, you're giving that owner another $5,000 as part of the contract, in addition to paying the interest or the payments. There's a lot of creative ways to do it, you know, but I think that the big thing there is that you have to offer value to that seller too.
I'll tell you one way not to do it is when I was – when I was younger and Carlton Sheets was on TV late at night, I bought all those tapes. I still got them all. And they never worked for me.
Really?
Nope.
I actually thought he was the coolest guy around.
I liked him too, but it wasn't.
I actually drove by his place down in Orlando, and it was as amazing as you thought. It was like this own little like town, and Carlton Sheets University, and all, it was pretty funny. But those listening that remember him, he was the idea of buying stuff with no money down, getting checks at closing for equity. Yeah. And it was before there was regulation on a lot of that stuff. Now there's rules that apply.
But if you knock on enough doors, something will happen. Mm-hmm. You know, you knock on 1,000 doors, you're going to get someone that's going to kind of play ball with you. So.
Sure.
There was a text that came in, if I can find it here, and I know we've talked about this in the past. What about the companies that will buy your house as is, no staging, no cleaning, even removing unwanted furniture? Do they give a fair price? Do you know?
They
sure,
do for themselves.
About it. Yeah.
if you think about that, I mean, hey, they're accepting the house as is. Mm-hmm. You can walk away from it. You know, you're not having to do any of the repairs or updates. And typically, houses that are trying to do that have deferred maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they haven't taken care of for years and years and years. And I mean, we talked about the septic systems a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people expect that they have a working toilet. If the septic system's bad, it's not going to be like, hey, you're going to get $20,000 more for your house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's sometimes with siding and windows.
I would guess between 12 and 16% of a discount on a house that's ready to sell would be the price on somebody like that. They actually would pay you to cash you out with no anything to do. On top of that, subtract your improvements, subtract anything that they have to do, and then they want to make, now when they're doing improvements, now they deserve or earn yield. So they should be able to make another 15 to 20% on top of that. So you start doing the math on a $200,000 house, wouldn't shock me to get an offer for $110,000, $115,000 that needs a few repairs to it. It actually is something that I would look at, but I would visit that person last. I would have three real estate agents or two real estate agents come out first and give you the valuation as is on the street. Then listen to the wholesale offer, and then you can really realize, because now you have the information so you can make a smart decision.
Okay. Let's see. Here is a text that just came in. 420-square-foot house, northeast Minneapolis. No garage, but in good shape. Big yard. Excuse me. Big yard. Nice neighborhood. Renter wants to buy. Who do I talk to first?
Just like Andy's been saying, get a realtor out there to be able to give you a price opinion on that. And then at that point, I mean, why wouldn't you go to that renter and offer it to him? But here's what happens. Typically, you know, and Ken talked about that on the For Sale by Owner, is that a lot of people go to For Sale by Owners because they think they're going to get a deal. Because you don't have to pay a commission. And so who's getting the deals? The seller getting the deal or the buyer's getting the deal? And, you know, that's how it works.
Right.
And so that's typically why they don't sell for
sale. That's why they don't sell, because they get emotions involved too, Denny. The for sale by owner, the buyer comes in and says they whack off 6% right off the top. You know, that's because you're not paying nobody. I'm not paying you for whatever. And they try to do that. And it's a game of greed, I think, when you do a lot of times the for sale by owner game. And they get mad at each other for the wrong reasons. That's why insulating yourself with a couple agents. And let's say that $200,000 house has $12,000 in commissions on it. Who cares? You'll probably make an extra 10 grand by having them in between you two.
I've been selling real estate for 28 years.
Yeah.
And I've sold a few houses in my day. And I had another agent end up selling an apartment building I had because you've got to take that emotion part out of it.
You really do.
It really does. And so it's a big thing.
It's like the old line about an attorney representing the person representing himself in a trial situation.
Absolutely.
As a fool for a client. Yeah, that's what they say.
God, we're going to miss a bunch of texts here.
Well, though. I'll tell you what. We'll come on back next week. Would you do that?
We got to run over to see Paige at 11:30.
We do that. And I wish everybody a happy Easter, happy Passover. And we'll be back again next Saturday morning in the 10 o'clock hour, welcoming your phone calls or text messages related to real estate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.